Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 2. No, excuse me, chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. What a city. Man alive. What did John say? He said it was as a bride adorned for her husband. Wow. I think we'll have to have glorified eyes just to look on the city, let alone to look on the Savior. I believe it just knocked these natural eyeballs plumb out of their socket. Amen. Reverence to God's Word. Let's stand together if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. But let's just stand together. I want to read verse 46 through verse number 54 and talk to you a little while this morning about a certain nobleman. The Word of God said, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour which he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. You can be seated. Please pray with us. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to be here in the church at Bible Way today. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come under the sound of our voice. And I pray, God, that you'd make the lesson, the message, a blessing in our hearing today. Dear Lord, I know that there are folk here that don't know you. God, how wonderful it would be that they would come to know you. How wonderful it would be, Lord, that they could leave here knowing that their sins have been forgiven, knowing, Lord, that their name is written in heaven, and knowing, our Father, that one day you're coming, and, Lord, they would be ready for your coming. I pray now, Lord, that you'll take the message and use it for your glory. Save the lost and strengthen the children of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible said down here in verse 54, this is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I looked up the word miracle. I just wanted to get a definition of the word. It means a surprising and a welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be a work of a divine agency. This certain nobleman in the story that we've read in your hearing today, he knows that he got help from the Lord for his son that he could not provide himself. He knows that the Lord did the work that was needed to be done. It also means a highly improbable or extraordinary event, a development or an accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences. The older I get, the more I sometimes just meditate on things. I wonder what it would be like to have a son or a grandson that was at the point of death, and just be able to talk to the Savior, and the Savior
say to me, thy son liveth, or thy grandson liveth. I believe it would be a thrill, don't you, in my heart and in my life. The book of John is a book that, according to John, I'll read it over here in the end of the book. I just looked at it a moment ago again. In verse 30 of chapter 20, John said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Today, beloved, that's the whole intent of the book of John. God put this miracle in here to let you know that he's a miracle-working God. Beloved, I thought about something. I meant to mention this later in the message. But the Bible said it, and listen, in no way, shape, or form am I ever trying to correct the Bible. I'm not trying to do that at all. But the Bible said this again, the second miracle that Jesus did. I'm just telling you, when I read the definition of a miracle, I believe Jesus did a miracle in the life of the woman at the well. She came with a water pod, and she left with the well. Jesus said, it'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I believe we're in the same shape today. In other words, if someone were to come in with a withered hand, or someone were to come in with leprosy, or someone were to come in with cancer, and someone were to be healed, there would be much made out of that. But beloved, I want you to know, this nobleman's son was at the point of death physically. But when a person is unsaved, they're already dead in their trespasses and their sin. And it's no greater miracle to give a young man a physical life and to spare his physical life than it is to give him eternal life. I believe that what happened in the life of the woman at the well was a surprising and a welcome event that was not explicable by natural or scientific laws, and therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. I believe when that woman went back to town and said, come see a man that told me all things ever that I did, is not this the Christ? I believe people knew she didn't do that. It had to be somebody else that changed her life. Amen. And then the Bible said, many believed on him for the saying of the woman. Then when Jesus showed up, many more believed because of his own word. And so we have a miracle in front of us. And I want to talk about that for just a little while this morning. A certain nobleman. I was thinking last night, as God was speaking to my heart about this, about the song. And I don't remember all of the words in the song, but one of the lines in the song said, the greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me. I know what Jesus means and what he did for me. I hope you know that today. I hope you know that your name is there. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. I want to talk about this nobleman and talk about this text for just a little while. And the first thing I want you to notice is a certain honor. It is believed when you study this out that this nobleman may have been in the court of Herod. But anyway, he was a ruler. He was a higher up. He was one that was, I guess you would call it, in the upper echelon of society. But I want you to see his honor. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me say this morning. You give some people a little bit of a position of authority and it goes to their head. But I'm telling you, beloved, you can give others that same authority and they make good leaders because it don't go to their head, it goes to their heart. Amen? I've seen this in the workplace. I've even seen it in the ministry. Are you listening to me? This nobleman was a man of honor. You say, Pastor, how do you know he was a man of honor? Number one, look at his approach to the Savior. The Word of God said he heard that Jesus was come to Judea
into Galilee, out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He besought him, he begged him, in other words. Let me say this to you, beloved. This crowd that's running around in the world that says you ought to march into the presence of Jesus and demand of him what's needed, they don't know the Jesus of this Bible. Beloved, the Jesus of this Bible is to be honored. And the Jesus of this Bible is to be respected. And the Jesus of this Bible, we go into his presence, beloved. I can remember the old timers when they closed their prayer out, God, we beg you in Jesus' name. Amen. In other words, beloved, listen, God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. We can't do it. This noble man was a man of honor. Look at his approach to Jesus. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. A lot of people, beloved, would have taken that as a rebuke. They would have taken that and said, well, I guess I'll just take my bags and go home. But this man of honor, look what he did. The Bible said, the noble man saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Listen, I'm not going to speak where the Bible don't speak. But I think it's healthy for you and I, beloved, every once in a while just to stop. Think about the tone in this man's voice. I believe there could have very well been tears in this man's eyes. Could you imagine, Brother Larry, you're nodding your head as it was your grandson that was at the point of death. It wouldn't just say, just come on down here, Jesus, and he'll, oh no, I'm telling you, he was broken in his spirit. And the Word of God said that God will draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite heart. I believe in his voice, Jesus understood the honor. He was a noble man, but there was one more noble than he that he needed help from. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, the noble man saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. There was such a great respect. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, this noble man had already heard. He possibly, listen, this area is only 16 and a half miles apart that we're talking about here in the Scripture when you're talking about Cana of Galilee and Capernaum. It's not very far apart. I believe he very possibly could have already heard what God had done for the woman at the well. Amen. And how that God had changed her life. It's very possible that he had already heard the good news. And beloved, he knew that there was a Jesus walking on the earth that could help his son. And he had to get to him. Beloved, he was a father that loved his son. There was a certain honor. I know he's honored because of his approach to the Savior. But secondly, I know he's honorable. And he's honored because of the approach by his servants. Look what the Word of God said down here. In verse number 51, the Bible said, and as he was going down, his servants met him. Beloved, his servants were excited. The fever had left his son. He had a good relationship with his servants. Listen to me. If you're a boss, try to be a good boss. Say amen. I believe that with all of my heart. You'll get more out of a bunch of people, beloved. Listen, if you'll be a good boss and if you'll be a dog-headed boss, a bull-headed boss, amen. I believe that. The approach by his servants, there was a respect for this nobleman. They wanted to run out there. They couldn't wait for him to get home. They wanted to run out there and tell him, your son's alive. The nobleman then asked, what hour? We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I don't believe it was any surprise because the Word of God said in verse number 450, go thy way, thy son liveth. The Word of God said, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. He believed. This man was an honorable man. We see a certain honor. And then we see a certain hearing. Look what the Bible said in verse number 47. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. I tell you, the greatest hope for our nation is for people in our nation to hear that God is in our churches, that the Lord is meeting with His people. That's the greatest hope for Bloomingdale, beloved. Listen, it's not to hear that they got some preacher up there, they got some choir up there, they got some singers up there, but they got a Savior up there that's working in the hearts and lives of God's people. That's what we need to hear. That's the miracle. There was a certain here, and he heard about the presence of Jesus. And then verse number 48, he heard the words of Jesus. Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But beloved, this nobleman proved just the opposite. He didn't have to see the sign and the wonder to believe. Jesus very well, when you look this up in the Greek, it's a plural, ye. It could have been that he was speaking that for the benefit of others that were standing around, beloved. But this man in his heart, he didn't need to see to believe. He believed to see. David said in the book of Psalms, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We get the order backwards. God, show me and I'll believe you. God said, believe me and I'll show you. You're here today and you don't know Jesus. Believe Him. He'll show you. There was a certain hearing. Then there was a certain humility. Look in verse 47, if you would, please. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. In verse number 49, the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. There was humility in this man's life. Jesus had something that he needed. Jesus had something that his boy needed. Jesus had something that he could not provide for his boy. Can I tell you all something today? All of us that have children, Jesus has something that we can't provide for them. I would to God we could save our children and our grandchildren. We can't do that. All we can do is point them to the one who can. And that's what God wants us to do. There was humility in his heart and humility in his life. And then I see there was a certain helplessness here about this case, beloved. He said, Sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, he's saying to the Lord Jesus, I can't help him. I can't do what needs to be done. But God, you can. You can. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart that it's good for us to get in a situation that we can't handle, so we can trust the one who can handle it. Amen. There was a helplessness. I can't help it, but I can seek the one who can. Would somebody go get Jesus, beloved? Listen, I thought about, as I looked at this, the night my father passed away. It was early in the morning. Brother Billy Mitchell was here in revival that week. Or he was coming on Sunday, starting revival that week. And it was Sunday morning. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And my sister, she said to me that Dad needed something. And they had it in the pharmacy in Johnson City. We were down towards Unicoi. And she said, Eddie's going to go to the pharmacy. Do you want to go with him? And I said, honey, yes, I'll go with him. And she said, Rick, you understand. Dad may not be here when you get back. That's what she said. I looked at my sister and I said, honey, that's not a problem. I said, because if it was me laying in there in the bed and there was something in Johnson City that Daddy thought could help me, he'd go get it. I said, it's not a problem if he's not here when I get back. I'm going to do the same thing he would do for me. I'm going to go get what he needs.
You know what we need more than anything? We need Jesus. We need salvation. We need eternal life. We need our sins washed away. When I got back that morning, my dad was already in heaven. You say, Pastor, do you regret going? No, I don't regret going. I don't regret going at all. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we ought to get the attitude, would somebody go get Jesus? That's what our country needs. That's what our churches need. That's what our homes need. We need somebody to go get Jesus. Because He, in the helpless situation, beloved, listen to me. I don't know if you're paying attention, but you better be paying attention. I didn't know any of these things were coming down the pike. And I've been saying it for several years now. Before this thing is over, we may need each other like we've never needed each other before in our lives. We're going to wake up one morning and a dollar bill won't be worth a roll of toilet paper. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. It'd be a blessing if some of the noble men, or at least those that think they're noble in this country, would understand they need Jesus. And our country needs Jesus. This man, beloved, there was a certain helplessness in his life. But then there was a certain hopefulness. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse 50. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And I believe in an instant, hope welled up inside of him. Because Brother Michael, the Word of God said, he believed the word that Jesus said. It's going to be all right. Let me tell you something. For God's children, listen, don't ever lose sight of this. I don't know what we'll go through before we get out of here, but I promise you this, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right for the children of God. There was a hopefulness that could not be found anywhere except in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing I saw in the text was a certain hour. And as he was now going down in verse 51, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour. Now, I want you to notice this. Please notice this. I don't believe it was gradual. The Bible said yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. I believe one moment he's got a fever, and the next moment, he's all right. Let me say something to you. There's a picture here. Beloved, everybody needs to have that hour. When one moment you were on your way to hell without God, and the next moment you were forgiven, and you knew your sins had been washed away, and you knew that God, beloved, had forgiven you and had mercy on you, birthed you into the family of God. Some people act like it's a gradual thing. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. There may be a lot of things that lead up to it, but when it happens, it don't take all day. There's a certain hour, a certain time. I'm glad in my heart and my mind, I can go back to a time when I finally gave up. When I finally, Brother Junior, I said, my pride ain't worth it. The devil told me they'd laugh at me. He told me they'd throw me out of the church. And you know what? God had already said it, but I found out something that night. He's a liar and the father of a lie. When God saved me that night, there wasn't nobody laughing. Everybody was crying. There wasn't nobody throwing me out. They were welcoming me in. They were rejoicing in the good things of God. I tell you, the only thing in this world, beloved, that's even close to getting saved is seeing somebody else get in. It's a blessing.
There was a certain hour. And then there was a certain healing. Beloved, the Word of God said here, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when He was come out of Judea into Galilee. This young man, I don't know how old he was, but he was healed. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God left us a story in the Bible about a concerned father. Fathers, are you concerned? Grandfathers, are you concerned? I tell you, the Bible instructs us not to worry. It says to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Several years ago, I wondered, what's the difference between worrying and being concerned? There is a difference. It's a sin to worry. But you're not worth your salt as a father if you're not concerned about your children. So what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. Worry in unbelief just wrings its hands and says, what are we going to do? But concern takes it to the Lord in prayer. Many of you have told me that you pray for your own grandchildren. You pray for my grandchildren. Some of them aren't doing right now. Reminds me of my life when I was their age. I'm not going to give up hope because they're not doing right now. They've been under the Word of God. The Word of God, I believe, will come back to them. I'm trusting the Lord to do what's needed. But beloved, I want you to know there was a certain healing. We see a concerned father in verse number 47. He takes it to Jesus. We see a comforting faith in verse number 50. This is a blessing. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. I mean, he could have stood there arguing with Jesus. No, Jesus, I need you to come. I know you've spoken the word, but I need you to come. No. That ain't what the Bible said. It's good enough. If God said it, that settled it. And this man believed the word of God. But I want you to see something here that probably is overlooked most of the time. I've overlooked it. Look what the word of God said in verse number 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Notice this. And himself believed. What's the next words? Brother Ralph, I believe even them servants that run out there. I believe everybody that knew how sick that boy was and knew that Jesus at that same hour, that daddy got a hold of Jesus. I believe everybody in that house said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You say, Pastor, why would you magnify that? Because many times in a household, it's all hinging on one person. Many times, one person getting a hold of God, one person obeying God, one person going and getting Jesus, and the whole house gets saved. That's a blessing. A certain noble man. I spoke to you a while ago about the miracle of the woman at the well. I'll give you an example of that and we'll close. An alcoholic became a believer. And he was asked how he could possibly believe all the nonsense about Bible miracles.
You don't believe that Jesus changed the water into wine, do you? This alcoholic said, by the way, the Bible would say drunkard. Alcoholic sounds a little prettier. Same thing. This alcoholic, he said, I sure do. Because in our house, Jesus changed the whiskey into furniture. I'm telling you, beloved, we need some daddies that'll go get Jesus. We need some mamas that'll go get Jesus. We need some mamas and papas that'll go get Jesus. We need some pastors that'll go get Jesus. We need some deacons that'll go get Jesus. We need some Sunday school teachers that'll go get Jesus. We need the choir to go get Jesus. Somebody say amen. We need him like we've never needed him before. He's still in the miracle working business. God could help us this day to see a miracle. Someone would just in their heart admit, Lord, I know I'm the sinner. And I know you love me enough to die for me on Calvary. And I believe with all my heart you rose again the third day. And Lord, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of living life without you. I want you to be my Savior. I want to follow you. I want to work with you. I want to work for you. I want to serve you the rest of my life. What a great miracle that would be. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, God, for your people that have gathered here today. Thank you for this little story of a certain nobleman. God, I ask you today, Lord, please speak to the heart. That young man, that young woman, maybe somebody up in years, speak to the heart of that one that does not know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. Maybe today they get that settled, Lord. Maybe today they'd experience the great miracle of God's eternal life, eternal salvation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.